Well, I am delighted to be joined by Joe and Glenn to hear all about being foster parents. And Joe, first of all, tell us a bit about your fostering journey to now.
Well, we're a blended family. So we've both been married before. We both have children from our first marriage, and we also have adopted 4 children. And this as the children got older, it just became a natural progression that we went on to fostering children. We very much want to create a family home where people feel loved and valued, and just inviting someone else in to join the family is what we wanted to do, and that's why we really went into fostering.
So some of the things that I'm going to ask you about is some of the skills and personalities that you and the rest of the family need to have. Also, some of the best bits and maybe some of the challenges. And you can be as honest about that as well. You both can. And really look forward to hearing everything you've got to tell us about it. So fostering from the first person that you fostered, you felt that you'd be good at this?
I think so. I think when we adopted, we went through a similar sort of vetting program. But when you go into fostering, it's really a great process, because not only do you go on a course called Skills to Foster course, where they tell you all of the skills that you'll need. They give you enough room where you can ask questions, but you also get given your own assessment social worker. And they take you through exactly what it's going to be like. They bring some reality into the situation. And so therefore, you feel as though you've really explored the whole idea
and
of being a foster carer.
And can I ask then, does that process match up with reality then? Is it the kind of, are they the right questions that you're asked and the right things that you're told about?
I think so. If anything, I would say we haven't come across the problems that they've brought up. So, which is fine. I mean, those sort of problems can come up in the future. But at the moment, we're just enjoying ourselves, and the two young children that we've had with us, both teenagers, they've been great. They've been quiet at first, getting to know us, but we're quite two laid back people. I'm a boundary setter. Glenn's very much the joker of the family, but between us, they just seem to slot in really quickly, and so everything's gone better than expected, if anything, I would say. There's nothing being surprising about the process at all. And having the children here has been... They've just become part of our family. That's the only way to explain it. They've become part of the family.
And that was what I wanted to ask a bit about, how the foster children have fitted in with the family and the role the rest of the family plays.
Yeah, the great thing is we've had two teenage lads, and we've already got two teenage adopted children, and they fit in really, really well. They do the same sort of activities. We go swimming, we go to the gym, they help me in the garden, we've done lots of DIY things down the field. It's been really great because they've sort of become part of a family and really fitted in really well. One of the lads we had couldn't speak English, right? But it was lovely because by sign language and by actions and everything, it was great. And we were putting up a shed, and he loved it. He was out there with a drill and a screwdriver getting involved, and it was suddenly, that was when it clicked with him, because he suddenly became part of the team, part of the family, because it was something he could do, and he really thoroughly enjoyed that. And it got to a stage where he was helping me to do it, and then he would put his phone on with his music from his country. Really weird music. But it was really lovely, because a big smile came over his face, and you could tell that he was really, really enjoying it. And really,
you have these moments, don't you? Yeah, Life is all about the little moments,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the moments with him.
And that just felt like, he's got his thing.
Yeah, he's got his thing. He'd become part of the group, become part of the family, and he felt valued at that stage, and you could tell that he felt really valued because he was doing something practical and thoroughly enjoying himself, and it was great. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you a question about Joe now.
Okay.
So Glenn, Joe says she's the boundary setter.
Yeah.
Sounds very similar to, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening who will relate to this. Joe is the boundary setter. And you're the joker. So, yeah. What kind of boundaries?
Great. Now, she is really good because obviously we have the argument about bedtimes when they first get here. We have the argument about you can't watch TV after a certain time when they get here. Your washing has to be put into the bin, otherwise it's not going to be washed. You know, you have to get up at a certain time.
And these are the non-negotiables.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's really good and she's really firm about those. She really sticks to those. And when they try and bend the rules, she's the one that says, no. You know the rules, you stick to the rules. And that's really good, because I would be hopeless at that.
But do you put your washing in the bin correctly?
I have to.
Maybe I should ask Joe that. tell me about your thinking behind that, Joe, and having the kind of the basics, the non-negotiables. So what then become the negotiables?
I think when you have, going back to the non-negotiables, it allows the child to feel safe and secure because they know there's rules in place, and you explain that the rules are in place so that everybody can get along and everybody can be safe. If they don't keep to the rules, then there's natural consequences. So, for example, if the washing doesn't go in the basket, then they will have to do their own washing. They don't want to do their own washing, so therefore everything goes in the basket. But some things that are negotiable, so we have one of our children at the moment likes to watch anime, and he'll say to me, oh, I know on a weekend, 10 o'clock, I've got to finish the TV, but can I have an extra 10 minutes just for this? And we'll say, OK, you know, you've come in, you've asked, you've not tried to bend the rules. Yes, OK, 10 minutes, that's fine. But on the whole, just remember, we're going back. You know, it's by the time it's Sunday night, it's 9:30 again because it's school in the morning. So all the rules that we put in place, it's for a reason. It's not because it's just a rule. And so we explain the rules behind it. And this is why, you know, this is a consequence if we don't follow this together.
And if I came into this family, if I was fostered, I would see everybody else working to the family rules,
absolutely.
Family code.
Absolutely. Everybody's the same. Doesn't matter who they are. Everybody's the same. Everybody's treated the same. So, yes, you would have to put your washing in as well.
Yeah, I would. And I'd be asking for an extra 10 minutes. So what are the skills you need to have, do you think, to be a good... I know this is really hard because you've both been modest, but it's really useful for people to hear the kind of things that when you're being analytical of yourself, you'd say the skills that are so important to have.
I reckon that my skill that I bring to the whole is the sense of humour. And people overlook this, right? Because sometimes if you get too het up about certain situations, it all goes wrong. If you can turn it into a humorous situation, or if somebody's lying to you, and you know darn well they're lying to you, well, that's a lovely story, isn't it? You know, I can tell you a worse story than that. And then I go on and tell them, I went to school with the Queen, for instance, right? Okay. So basically, it's a case of trying to bring down a situation, because when they've come here, they don't know what they're walking into. You know, when a foster child walks through our door, they don't know what they're walking into. So being friendly, being open, being humorous, making a life a little bit lighter than it's been for them, you know, whilst at the same time Joe's saying, right, well, bedtime's this and whatever. And I says, yeah, even I have to go to bed at that time, you know, because I'm an old man, so I need my sleep and that sort of thing. But it really is, I think a lot of people underestimate their abilities. And I think a lot of people could foster, and they've got the skills to foster. I don't think you have to be a superhero. I'm not a superhero. I'm just a normal person that gets on really well with other people and brings out the best in other people and calms situations down. That's the skills that I'm bringing to it. Yeah. So.
And I think a listening ear is really important. Of the two kids that we've had, To sit there and for them, because this is something new to them. They've often gone home to their families and gone straight to their bedrooms, straight onto their computers. But here we make a big effort that everybody has dinner together, and that's the place where everybody shares everything. And then if they want, you know, we've got a lounge that they can come into, and they can sit whatever time for however long they want, and they can just pour out anything that's on their mind.
And picking up a bit on what Glenn was saying, Joe, it doesn't happen on day one. It is a journey.
Absolutely, it's a journey. And it's just even knocking on the door and just saying, "Are you okay?" You know, just for them to know that you care for them. I often look in at their faces and I'll say, you know, I wonder if you're missing your mum at the moment. You look a little bit down, and just acknowledging that we're looking at them, that we're taking some interest in them. That's what they want to feel, and anybody can do that.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask about, and it's where a foster parent sits in their kind of family situation, because that's really important for you and for them, isn't it, to be clear on where your role sits for them?
I think it is, and I think it's important for our family as well. So when we make any decisions about any children come in, all of the family from our side know about it. We don't go into the background, but we just explain that this is the type of child that's coming, and is everybody happy with this? So that's the first thing, because when the child walks through the door, they have to feel as though they've been embraced by this family. But it's also important that the children that come have to remember, and we have to remember, that they have a family as well, and that they love their family and that they are missing their family. So the first thing that Glenn and I encourage them to do is decorate their room. They have the photographs of family members, and we talk about the family members, and we encourage them to get in touch with them. One of the children could, and one of the children unfortunately couldn't. But it's and it's building up a relationship with that family as well, because we're obviously standing in the shoes of mum and dad. So it's sharing some of the adventures that we've been on. We went to an ice cream parlour the other day, and just sending a picture of him eating a big ice cream, and then they send pictures back. So it's sharing. So we're sort of in the middle, and we become sort of part of their family, and they become sort of part of ours as well.
Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Going back to when we first met the youngsters, one of the things that I really liked was we met one of them at a service station, and he'd come from another country. He could hardly speak any English. And the first thing I did was give him a can of Coke. And you could suddenly see, by just doing that small thing, he felt accepted. You know, the fact that somebody'd done something really nice for him, giving him a can of Coke without him even asking or stuff like that. And I thought, no, we're on our journey now. This is the beginning. This is beginning of a friendship. And that's where you have to think of it. When the foster children come here, you've got to form a friendship with them. You're not going to be their mum. You're not going to be their dad. You've got to form a friendship. And that's really, really important for me. And I think, again, going back to that, that's the skill I bring. I can make friends very easily. And it's just thinking of the little things you can do to make somebody's life just a little bit better. You know, when we met the other lad, we met him in a cafe before he came here. And obviously he was sussing us out, and we were sussing him out and seeing whether it would work or anything. And when he came in, he looked absolutely petrified, right? And, you know, and we got talking, and we were joking and laughing and stuff like that. And you could see his defences gradually go down. And then it says, OK. And the social worker that was with him said, "Is it OK if he comes back to your house now?" "So, yeah, absolutely. We'll drive on ahead, and you can bring him, because you've got all his stuff in there." And when we got here, we hadn't even decorated his bedroom, OK? The bedroom was just a bare square, which I was halfway through painting. And so I said, and the first thing I did is I gave him a painting brush. "Come on, you can help me finish this bedroom off." And that was great. And the thing is, his furniture arrived as we were painting the... the bedroom, and we had to put all the furniture up together. So we all did that, and our son Matthew, he came over and he helped us to put the furniture together. So he took ownership of his bedroom because he'd made the furniture, he'd made the bed, he'd made the cabinet, he'd painted the walls, and then the afternoon we went out and got some posters so he could put them on and sort of turn it into his room. So that was great. It's a way of trying to make them really feel part of the family, or, you know, feel welcomed into our home. So that, you know,
that's lovely. The other thing that I'm obviously picking up from you two having chatted for a few minutes is that in your own relationship, this only works with teamwork, really.
Absolutely, it's got to work with teamwork, yeah. And things don't always go the way that you plan as well. Sometimes one of our children had a bad day at school, and he came in and he was quite cheeky to me. And so picking the battles is something. So what, you know, I would say to Glenn, but, you know, just to one side, I'd say, didn't really like the way he spoke to me then. I'm going to tackle this in such a way, but I'm going to do it over dinner because he likes food, he likes sitting down at the table. And there's a way to confront that behaviour without getting into sort of, you know, without confrontation, let's put it that way. So I just said to him, I really didn't like the way you spoke to me. I'm just wondering if there's something that you want to talk about. And that allows the child then to say, I'm sorry about that, and yes, there is, well, we'll talk about it later, let's talk about after dinner when it's just us two then. So, and that takes teamwork, because or we might get a phone call and we might say, oh, we're going to have a contact visit, and then we'll have to think, okay, so we've got our children to think about, and so one of us will have to take. So it's sort of sorting out the dynamics as well.
And are there any other challenges that, well, people who are listening to this, who are thinking about doing this, that you would flag for them today?
I want to add that whilst Joe and I are a couple, there's no reason why single people can't do this. But you only need to be a nice person, a calm person, a considerate person to do this. Yes, there's going to be issues. There's always going to be arguments. There's always going to be sort of difficulties that you have to overcome. But what I will say is Joe and I both feel that we have the support of our social worker behind us. Any problems whatsoever, she's a phone call away, and she'll help us sort it out. If there's anything difficult that we're facing, you know, for instance, on my birthday, I was doing a first aid course. I got a phone call. Our lad had sprained his hand at school. He needed to be picked up. He needed to be taken to the hospital to have x-rayed, right? So I went and picked him up and everything. And the people that were running the first aid courses, don't worry about it, Glenn, you've done the majority of it. That'll do. Just take him to the hospital, and that'll be the end of your first aid course, which is what I did. So I took him to the and I got it x-rayed. And at the same time, I'm phoning the people that are looking after us and his social worker and all that sort of thing, just to keep them in the picture as to what's happening. This is right, we just keep us up to date and all of that sort of thing. But it was really knowing you've got that support behind you. And I can't praise them enough, because they have, whatever difficulties we've come up against, and everybody that goes into fostering will come up against it, but you're not alone. You've got social workers, your social worker that will help you through that, and they're trained to do that, and they, you know, and they're really, really good at that. And there's the other thing I go to is the coffee mornings where other fosterers meet, and it's great because they won't stand any nonsense. You go in there and you say, oh, "I'm having this problem." Don't worry, Glenn, I've heard that.
I've heard about the coffee mornings, and they're really good.
Absolutely. I can't, you know, praise them enough, because it's great, because everybody's there. There's no hidden agendas or whatever. It's a case of, right, how's it going with your and some of them are having a horrendous time. You know, you come away thinking, but at least I'm not having as bad a time as that. But the nice thing is, there's other people there that says, right, well, when that happened to me, this is what I did. This is who I contact. This is, you know, this is how we get them back into school. This is that, you know, and it's really, really good, because you've got experts that have fostered a lot longer than you to help you to solve your problems. And that to me is a real godsend, you know, absolute godsend, you know.
And Joe, challenges that you would put out there for people to be aware of?
I think if anybody is listening to this, I think the biggest challenge is self-doubt. I think people think they've got to be have lots and lots of skills. They've got to be able to look after really complex children, and that's not the case. You've just got to be yourself, and that's what children want. They don't want this manufactured person. They just want you to be you. And every child that is given to you is going to be profiled so that they know that that child is the perfect, it will be in the perfect place with you, that you can handle that child and that child will be happy with you. And so self-doubt, I think, would be, if you've got self-doubt at all, just get yourself on the course, ask as many questions as you like, and you'll be hooked.
Well, guys, thank you so much for inviting me in. I feel if I stay much longer, Glenn will have me doing some sort of DIY job, which isn't my forte. But really, really have enjoyed talking to you and such lovely people. And, really appreciate you being so open and honest with us. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.